podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run.
Hello, my friends. What you up to? This is Chris. You training? Training for a spring race? Yeah, me too. Hey, but right now, I am walking in the great woods behind my house with Buddy the Wonder Dog, taking him for a walk. So I figured I'd do a little podcasting. It's probably about 27 degrees Fahrenheit out. You can hear my, feet on the snow. And that large thumping sound will be my 190-pound sack of spuds hitting the ground at some point. Because we had a warm week, and it's melting, and everything's really, really slippery now because it melted and froze. So it's treacherous. I don't have the yak tracks on. Just got my regular old hiking boots on. So hope everyone is cool. This is the Run, Run, Live podcast, and you have stumbled upon episode 56. Today, I interview a great guy, Daryl, really cool guy, who's the running stud behind I Run in Your Shirt. Guess what he does? I'll give you three guesses. That's right. He runs in your shirt. It's a great story. I have some other bits and pieces for you as well. If you're still reeling from episode 55, the Clint Eastwood episode, I understand your pain. And today we'll go back to our regularly scheduled format. All will be right again in the Run, Run, Live universe. So we've got our equipment checked and our interview and our quick tip and the music to take you out. We got our Wonder Dog. We got our walking in the woods. And it's twilight here in the woods. It's almost 6 o'clock and the sun is still up. I told you when it got warm and it turned to spring it would happen fast. And it's twilight here. It's 6 o'clock. It's twilight. You know, with like the teenage vampires? That kind of twilight? But thanks for all the noise on Twitter and Facebook. You're all a bunch of studs and studettes. One big old mid-packer stud fest. If you want to find me, I'm CYKT Russell on Twitter or Chris Russell on Facebook. I'm the guy in the Boston area. You'll know me when you see me. This is my podcast. In this podcast, my wonderful border collie, Buddy the Wonder Dog, and I converse with the interesting folk and talk about running in the mid-pack. Oh, now I get across the stream. This is treacherous. In the spring, the stream is high. I made this bridge here out of a pine log about 6 years ago. So one of these times I'm going to walk across it and it's going to give up the ghost. And I'm going to end up in that stream. My training is going super. Things start to get weird. They're starting to get weird in my schedule. And this week, I'll be ringing up over 50 miles because my 20-miler on Saturday is going to overlap with my 16-miler on the previous Sunday. So I get a lot of mileage in. Had an awesome speed workout Tuesday on the treadmill in the gym. I did 7x800 yassos, and it was too exhaustion. It was one of those perfect workouts where it was just, I failed right when the workout was over, you know? It was perfect. So the workout and I reached our climax at the same time, as it were. So the yassos thing works like this. You run a set of 800s at the same time as your target pace. So for me, I'm training for some kind of 320 marathon. So I run my yassos 800s in 320, 3 minutes and 20 seconds, which is a 640 pace, if you do the math. Get it? And if I can get up to the point where I'm doing 10 of these with like a 2-3 minute break in between, not a break but a jog, you know, your regular pace, just to get your heart rate down, let you recover a little bit, if I can get up to 10 of those, then I'm right on target. I'm spot on for my target race. It's science, but it's simple and it's very powerful. It worked. I went on an adventure on Wednesday to find some trails by my office, And that's it. Thursday night, I went out with the headlamp crew, went running with the Wonder Dove, taking Friday off because I'm going to run Saturday on 20 on Saturday. So that's it, man. I know you're all busy campers, so I'll get on with the show.
And now for the equipment check.
Well, folks, we had some spring weather in New England this week. Got up into the 50s, and I had to run in my short. And I'd like to give you some apparel advice for this happenstance. If you've been running in tights for a long time, and you switch right over to shorts when it gets warmer, especially this time of year, when you're doing a lot of miles, maybe for your spring training plan, well, you could suffer from some horrible, horrible surprise chafing. Now, I know you don't have this issue, but us hefty runners sometimes have our thighs rubbed together when we run. And if you go straight from tights to the high cut of the regular short, your body doesn't have a chance to build up that, you know, that thick skin to deal with the chafing. So, got a couple of strategies for you. One is, of course, you can grease up with your favorite anti-chafing goop. My personal anti-chafing goop is Aquaphor. But if you're doing a real long race, that might not even be enough unless you bring some with you. A lot of runners like that body glide. That works great, too. Another way to do this, though, if you get these long races and all of a sudden it's 50 degrees, you wear bike shorts instead of regular running shorts. And a lot of people wear bike shorts today anyhow. And the longer hem, the inseam, and the slipperier material keeps us large-thighed people from getting in trouble. So stay safe out there. And as you transition to the warm weather, be prepared. Have some fresh skin exposed to the elements and be safe.
And now for our featured interview.
Daryl, we're back.
Oh, hey, Chris.
So anyhow, we've been trading emails. You're the I run in your shirt guy. And you know what? I was listening to somebody yesterday on one of the internet marketing podcast that I listen to as well.
Okay.
And the guy's gig was iwearyourshirt.com.
Yeah, I know of that guy. He's from this area.
Is he? And his gig was, if you rent January 1st, that's a dollar.
That's a dollar.
And then January 2nd, it's $2.
Yep. That's exactly how mine is structured.
Okay.
The cost of the day corresponds with that day of the year. For instance, like you said, January 1st is a dollar. This February, This Friday, the 13th, will be $44.
Right.
And so forth and so on.
Yeah. And that's not really the interesting part about you, though, when we start talking, because you spent a lot of time up in my area, up by my town, and tell us your story about, your career and all that stuff.
Well, okay, I'd love to, man. I did retire from the Army just this past October after 26 years, and the whole entire military career is a great story in and of itself, but I was stationed up there at Fort Devens, golly, from 84 to 87, and then again from 90 to 93, and actually I met my wife out at the Dunkin' Donuts in Leominster in 1985.
Yep.
She was working out there, serving coffee and donuts, and I walked in for a coffee and donut and asked her on a date. So I loved living in the New England area. Her whole family was from Leominster, still lives there.
Wait, and, now you actually got married by hitting on a waitress in a Dunkin' Donuts?
I thought
that stuff never worked, Daryl.
we were set up. One of my coworkers, his wife worked there, and she said, "Come in, I want you to meet this girl." So I came in for a coffee and a donut and to get out of the cold, January the 30th of 85, and we went out on a date, I think, the next night, and been together ever since.
Did you have the uniform on when you went in?
I did not. No, I didn't. Oh, it was the 80s, so I think I was probably dressed more like
MC Hammer?
Exactly. I was going to say the parachute pants and the whole nine yards, but I was stationed there in 84, and it was really only once I got to New England. I've been a runner in the Army already for 3 years because, you know, it's something that we do daily. But then I got kind of immersed in the road race culture, living in around Fitchburg and Fort Devens.
Sure, sure. The CMS guys, the Central Mass Strider guys.
Right. I was I didn't actually get involved with CMS until I went from New England and was reassigned to Hawaii. I was in Hawaii for 4 years. Picked up a lot of great runs out there. My first marathon was actually December of 88, was the Honolulu Marathon.
Mm.
But then once I came back to Fort Devens in 1990, that's when my running really started to take off. And
now, when you say you join the Army and you guys run every day, it's just what you do. I mean, does that start like in basic training and you just run like 5 miles every day? Or I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, you know, it like you said, it starts in basic training, but you are running or doing something every single day. You know, you've got physical fitness training every single day. Some people do it because, you know, they have to, and then I just fell in love with it. You know, it's like when I was running, I would run in the morning with the guys, and then I would run in the afternoon on my own, and we all ran together, but then some of us started to just take off and distance ourselves from the pack, and I became one of the fastest guys in the unit within the first year. It just kind of took off from there.
You know, I used to run down in, I remember running down in Atlanta in one of the parks down by the highway down there, and the crews used to come over from Cobb Air Force Base, and you'd see about 20 people running, you know, running in lockstep in the little parks.
Yep. There was always the formation runs where you know, somebody's calling cadence and you're running in formation, and that was, you know, that builds camaraderie and esprit de corps and attention to detail and all those kind of things. But it was fortunately being a faster guy through the late 80s, the Army went to an ability groups type run. And they realized that having everybody run in a mass of 100 people is kind of slowing down the faster guys. So
yeah.
In order to do that, we would, twice a week, we would break off and run in ability groups. So that's when you could go long and go fast and run in groups of like two or three. And that was what I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time over at Devens running over there. It's a great place to run. And what they've done is, this is one of the bases they closed, I guess in the 90s or the 80s they closed the base?
Well, I think I know it's got a small contingent of active duty still, but I think it closed as an active Army installation. I want to say it was like 94.
Yeah, and this is a big base. We're talking, I don't know, got to be hundreds of acres of land out there.
Oh, beautiful, big place. Big training area out there on the south post, yep.
Yep, with the golf courses and the barracks and all that stuff. They're tearing all that stuff down. It's mostly all gone. They've changed it. They've it's reborn as a little town now called Devens. It's got, you know, it's trying to be a little town with an industrial center where the Army stuff used to be.
Golly, well, yeah, they had a bustling intramural sports program.
Yep.
A couple of great 10K runs throughout the year. Had a 10 miler every October, which is still probably a great 10 mile route around the installation there, around the kind of the perimeter of the base.
Yeah, it's very hilly over there.
It is. It would surprise you. Back around Salerno Circle, coming up the hill there on the back side of the base.
Yep.
I still remember hammering up that hill at, I think it was like mile six. You know, those kind of things get kind of ingrained in your mind if you run a route enough times.
Yeah, and there's that hill over by Mirror Lake.
Ah, yep. Mm-hmm.
And I actually did a triathlon over there in Mirror Lake. And the transition was kind of funny, because they brought you out of Mirror Lake and the bikes were up in the parking lot on top of the hill.
Okay.
So you either had to sit down and put your shoes on to run up the hill to get on your bike, or just run in your bare feet up the hill, because it's like a quarter mile, I think.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. No,
yeah.
Wow, I didn't know they did that.
Unpaved road, and the transition was on top of the hill, so I ran in my bare feet.
Hardcore.
Of course.
But it was actually once I was in New England that I first had my exposure to the Boston Marathon. And, you know, I'm not ashamed to say the first 2 years that I ran Boston, I qualified from, it was during Desert Storm, Desert Shield, like 1991, and I think the marathon gave to the sports director of the base 4 or 5 slots.
Oh, okay.
And the only requirement was that you had to have run a marathon in the past year. And it was kind of reaching out of the community, and I had just ran the, I don't know if it's called Cape Cod or Hyannis Marathon down by in Hyannis.
Well, it's the Hyannis Marathon.
Hyannis
Cape Cod
Marathon.
Is the one in the fall. Cape
okay.
Cod is the fall, yeah.
And I heard about the program, and I just took off on a lark and went down there and ran Hyannis Marathon so I could get an opportunity to run Boston. And the first time I ran it, I was, you know how Boston is. I was absolutely hooked. I was overwhelmed with the whole entire experience, and I said then that I've got to if I can't, I can't always rely on getting these seats here. I want to qualify like everybody else. And I was in my early 30s at the time, so I was still looking at a sub 310.
Right.
Worked on that for a couple of years. In May of 93 was my first sub 310 marathon, Burlington, Vermont, as a matter of fact.
Ah, the Vermont Marathon. Yep.
Fantastic. Still, it's still the one of my most memorable moments of running and racing.
So what did you run, a 309?
305.
305. Good man. Good man. Yeah, I remember that first crossing that. I ran my my first qualifier at Bay State. And
okay.
Because the first time, you don't know what to expect, right?
And, oh, no.
And,
I know.
And you're really not sure that, even though you did all this training and all the signs point that you should be able to do it, you really doubt whether you can do it or not. And it's not until the last, like, quarter mile that you're looking at your watch and going, oh, my God, I'm going to make it, you know?
Yep, yep.
And it's just, it's such a, you know, I'm tearing up right now thinking about it. Even
well,
though
well,
I bet I never cried.
I still remember that year. I mean, you know how runners have a thing for your minutes and seconds and everything. And that year in 1993, I also went back and I ran Hyannis, and I ran it at 3:33.
Yeah.
Then the next month in April, I ran Boston in a 3:19.
Yeah.
So the following month, that was the Memorial Day, May 30th, the Burlington, Vermont, and I ran a 3:05. So within a 60-day period, a little over 60 days, I went from a 3:33 to a 3:19 to a 3:05.
Well, you must have been really working the speed work then, huh?
I was, and I've written that down. And anytime anybody asks me, well, how, you know, I'm running a lot of distance time, you know, distance now. You know, what can I do? How can I kind of break out of where I am right now? And
right.
I just flipped back to 1993. I've always kept great journals. And,
yep.
And I think
yeah,
I had every mile.
I did the same thing. I dropped 45 minutes off of my marathon in 3 months, too. But I was the same situation because you had the base. You had the 25 miles a week already.
Yep.
And I had that base, too, because I had always been a runner. So if you take that base and just lay the speed work on top of it, you make incredible gains. It's not like starting from scratch.
And I'm at a point now where I need to go back and reread that because the last couple of years, going back to I think maybe 2004, I'm in the 338, 342 range.
Yeah.
And so I'm really, you know, I'm 47 years old now, so I know I need to run a sub 330, and that's my goal. I think I heard that you had already. You said you ran a qualifying marathon.
I got a couple of qualifiers this year.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
Because my big goal last year was to run an ultra.
Huh?
And I ran my ultra, and I said, well, you know, why waste all these miles? So I doubled up on a marathon and ran 3:28, I think.
Fantastic.
But I had run a 3:20, I don't even remember, something at Boston the year before. So Boston qualified me for Boston. That jump from 3:20 to 3:30 was just that's right in my sweet spot.
That helps. Yeah, that helped. That 10-minute age bracket for the first time ever, you get that 10-minute.
Yeah, that really helped. So retired Sergeant Major Darrell here. Tell us about your new gig and what you're doing. Sounds kind of funny.
Well, it's being a lot of fun, Chris. Well, I think I was sitting around the house. It was maybe a couple of days before New Year's Eve, and I'm trying to figure out, I'm retired now, and I want to do, I still have to go to work, just like everybody else, but I do have my retirement, so I want to do something that I really, really enjoy. You know, I don't want to have to do something that I'm just kind of banging my head against the wall. So I love to run, and I've written about my running for, since the mid-80s.
Okay.
So I just decided to run every day this year. I'm just going to run every day. If you do something enough times in a row, it just becomes a habit. So I thought, well, we'll just see where this thing takes me. And, just obviously like anybody, it's not the commitment that I'm worried about because, I can commit to running every day of the year. That's no problem. I love running. Obviously, I was worried about staying healthy and running smart. So, and at age 46, when I was in my 30s, or late 20s, I could run 60 miles a week and without having to put a whole lot of thought into it. So
right.
This kind of appealed to me. I've always been in health and nutrition nut, so I thought, well, I'll put a lot of effort into the staying healthy. I'll do a lot more stretching than I used to, and strength training as well. And I was looking for a way to, you know, tie this into some kind of entrepreneurial type kind of program. And my daughter here, who she's actually stayed with me, her husband is in the Navy. I have two beautiful grandchildren. And my son-in-law is out at sea right now. And usually while the kids are small, when he goes to sea, she'll come and stay with us. So I was thinking, yeah, she goes to college. She's a junior at Southern New Hampshire University.
Okay.
And just up the road from you guys there.
So UNH?
Southern New Hampshire University. She's in the online English Lit program.
Oh, okay. All right.
And, you know, great school, but there's no tuition assistance for her through my son-in-law's military program. So let me try to help her defray the costs of her college, you know, to avoid putting the whole thing up on student loans and such. So
yeah.
What if I could just lease the shirt off my back to sponsors, friends, corporate sponsors, and I'm going to run every day, so I'll just commit to posting a picture of myself running in whatever shirt I'm wearing that day.
Yeah.
I'll blog about it, write about that day's run or, you know, that day's activities in general, and just kind of chronicle my life for a year online.
Sure.
That's the running part is easy.
So what's your blog? What's your blog?
Well, it's blog.irunonyourshirt.com.
Okay.
So if you go to the irunonyourshirt.com website, you've got, in the upper left-hand corner, you've got blog, photos, and social space. The whole social space Facebook thing, I'm relatively new to that, but, you know, my wife and daughter are on it, and so...
Have you got yourself a Twitter account?
I do not. Okay. I did see that, and I know I heard you talking about it, and so...
All right, so... By tonight, there'll be an I Run On Your Shirt Twitter account, right?
Okay. Sure. I mean, absolutely. I love the staying connected. We've been able to reconnect with friends from, you know, 20, 30 years.
Yeah, I know. It's great. It's great finding people you went to college with and stuff. It's really cool. I like it a lot.
Really,
so, you know, I got some shirts you couldn't run in, though. I got some shirts that fight me if I try to take them out of the closet, you know?
So far, you know, this whole thing has been a lot of fun, and I've gotten a lot of encouragement from my friends and family. The hardest part of this whole entire thing for me is the web marketing piece, because I'm sitting here looking at a couple of 5-pound books from the library on website development, which, you know, being my background in recruiting command and demolitions was what I did in the Army. So I come into this web development, and I'm having a great time playing with that. I'm just having a fantastic time running.
I got a podcast you should go listen to. It's called Internet Business Mastery.
Okay.
Go listen to that one.
Yeah, absolutely will. This coming Friday, we've got an event here with a local sponsor that we're looking forward to. 30-some-odd restaurant chain of restaurants here. It's Woody's Barbecue. So they're coming on board as a sponsor. We're going to do a media release here on Friday morning with them, so that'll be a lot of fun. You know, it's just really being a great thing. Basically, the way it works is you go to my site, you look through there. It's got a program, tells you how, you know, I use PayPal, just like because that seems simple, and I've used PayPal for a number of years.
Yep.
You look at the calendar; it corresponds with the day of the year. You can either email me or just go through PayPal and then send me your shirt. Got a shirt in the mail here this afternoon that I'm going to be running in next Tuesday.
All right.
A lot of fun, man.
So yeah. What's the craziest, best running story you got from all these years of running, Darryl?
Best running story? Oh, golly, I've got a ton of great running stories. You know, I've run in 55 below zero. And I've run in 112 above.
On the same day?
No, not on the same day. Both within the continental U.S., though, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Some of the most memorable experiences for me, I've done 6 ultras. And never done a 50-miler. And I would love to. I've got friends that have done the 100-milers. But I did the Pine Mountain, Georgia, I think it's 46.5 trail race at the Out and Back.
Yeah.
And a fabulous event. I think it's in November every year. Just a great, great run. Pretty hilly. There's definitely some pieces that, you do some walking through there. Sometime, I think it was probably 97, 98, I ran that thing. I think I was 12th overall, but with a time of 10:06 and 10 hours and 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Great run. You go through several seasons during the run. You take off in the morning, and it's nice, and it's cool, and then it warms up, and then it rains on you. And I think we changed shoes at the turnaround point, and you did an ultra recently. Was it a trail ultra or a road ultra?
Trail.
Trail. Way to go. You know, I tell people, if you're worried about banging yourself up, a trail ultra is no more jarring on your body than a 16-mile road training run.
Yeah, it's easier. The training's easier, and the race is easier than a road marathon.
And, you know, you're running at maybe, on some trails, a 10:30 or 12-minute pace. And that's if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So the conversation is a lot more lively. The snacks as you go through the aid station, you know, small boiled potatoes rolled in salt, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and peanut butter and candy corn sandwiches, which was my favorite when I was a trail runner. So I love trail running. Definitely going to get back to that this year. I was had the good fortune of being stationed in recruiting command in Alabama, Auburn, Alabama, War Eagle. And we had there's still a fabulous running community right there in Auburn, Alabama. They sponsored a great trail marathon, trail ultra, for a number of years, Bartram Bash, and a great running community there. So love that race a lot, too.
Yeah, it's great how running can be your ticket to a whole bunch of other venues, you know?
It can, and I like your message about introducing a million new runners to the sport. And Lord knows I've introduced a number of people to it over the years. And being a fast guy in all my units and different assignments, people were always reluctant to come out and run with me. And like, please, I'm asking you to come run with me. Do you think I'm going to go out there and try to, you know, embarrass you? I just want us to run together. And when they would come out and run with me, they'd realize, you know, this is a lot of fun. We run at a, slow it down a little bit, run at a conversational pace.
Conversational pace.
Because I want you to come back next time.
Yep. All right, we're running out of time, Daryl.
Okay, my friend.
So what would be your inspiration to our million new runners that we're going to create out there?
Well, at the risk of sounding like a cliche, you just got to get out and do it. I mean, get yourself a good pair of running shoes. Get out there and run. Start slow. Walk, run. Run with a child. I took my grandchildren to a 1 mile fun run this Saturday. He's 4 years old. We ran together on the 1 mile, and he was beaming. I've chronicled it on my site. I was, of course, tearing up.
I'll tell you another story. I used to go down to the local middle school and do speed work on their track, and in Littleton. And every once in a while, I'd overlap with recess, and I'd have all these 7 or 8 year olds trying to race me while I was doing speed work.
Ah,
and it was so cool.
Well, I'll be doing a lot more of that, too, because the week before next, I'm starting work as an elementary reading teacher here in a local school. So
all right,
I'm going to do that during the day and do my I run on your shirt thing before sunlight or even at the evening time sometime.
Yeah, spring's coming.
Yep, it is. Stay warm up there in New England.
All right, we got to let you go, but
okay.
Keep in touch. Let me know how things are working out on your journey.
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks, man.
We'll go for a run sometime, all right?
Sounds great, my friend. Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Here's today's quick tips.
All right, since I'm running 20 miles, a 20-mile race this weekend, I'll give you my race/training advice for this stuff, or using long races in your training schedule advice. And I may be repeating myself a little bit, but it's important. You want to treat these long races just like you do your target race. So if you plan to take gels or pills every 40 minutes in your target race, do the same thing in your warm-up race, right? And if you plan to take a walk break every 5 minutes at the water stops, do that. You know, whatever you're going to do in your target race, do in your long warm-up race, right? And try to focus on, you know, take this long warm-up race, not as a long run, but as a practice race. You're going to get your miles and your hours in no matter what. So the big opportunity is to practice and learn from this longer event. You know, and try to focus on your pacing and form. Listen to your body in the high miles. See what bits are giving you feedback. You know, is your breathing off? Are your legs weary? Are your mechanics getting weird? All these things will let you know what you need to work on in the weeks remaining for your target race. So stay cool and race yourself to success. Hey guys, this is me, Chris. Hey, so don't mind the car noise. Doing something I usually don't do, which I'm run casting. I'm casting while I'm running. And I hope the wind isn't bad. But I decided today, it's like 50 degrees out and sunny in Massachusetts. I got shorts on. I should be wearing short sleeves. But I found this piece of land out here on the other side of the highway from my office. And if you look on your Google Maps and put in Burlington, Massachusetts, or the Burlington Mall, there's two highways coming together right there. There's Route 3, which is the north-south highway, and there's Route 128, which is the rest of America refers to as 95. Because back in the 70s, to get federal funding, they changed. I'm right next to the highway. Changed the name to 95. But us being the way we are in Massachusetts, we decided to throw their key into the harbor, and we still call it 128, the original technology beltway around the city that most of the other cities in America have since copied. But anyhow, across the highway from me is this piece of land that got cut off when they put Route 3. And it's a part of Burlington, but there's no access to it from Burlington, only from Bedford, which is the next town over. And so nothing can be done with it. It's landlocked, essentially, by the highway. So I've been working here for about 18 months, wistfully eyeing this patch of ground on the outside of the highway. Oh, crap, I gotta turn around. I eyeballed it today. Got a map from a friend of mine who works in Bed, and he showed me how to get in. But so I started out today. It looked like the entrance was about a mile and a half from my office, but based on my watch, we're talking more like 2.5 miles to the entrance, because I can't go through the highway. Even though it's crow fly probably 3/4 of a mile from me to get under the highway, it's 2.5 miles yard. So I'm going to turn around. But some sweet trails out here. And it reminds me, I used to work in Newton Lower Falls, or Newton, Massachusetts, right where the hills start on the Boston Marathon. I used to work in this place. Same thing. Again, apologies for the highway noise. I'm right on it. I may cause an accident. The glare off of my white legs. First time I've had shorts on since, probably October, September. So if you look at me, if it wasn't for the hirsute nature of my appearance, I would look like the Invisible Man, you know, just a set of clothes moving independently. But anyhow, enough Western European bashing. So I used to work in this place in Newton, Lower Falls, and I was doing my training for Boston. At the time, I was pretty serious. This is my qualifying days, back when I had to run a 3:10, 3:15. So it had this same little, it was right next to the Charles River, and it had this area that was cut off when they put 128 in back in the 50s and 60s. So it was beautifully idyllic, just cut off from the rest of the world. This little dirt road loop, which is about 1.75 miles long, with some gentle undulations in it, some forest path type stuff. And I used to go out there and do my miles, my mile splits. I think that must be the Shawshene River I'm crossing right now. So it had a little dinghy. I could go onto the highway here. A little coracle. I could go onto the highway here and cut off about a mile. I'll make it 1.5 miles from the office. That would be an adventure. So this little 1.75 mile loop was perfect, because I do my mile,
whatever it was at tempo or speed, and then I'd do the three-quarter as the recovery. And it was nice and soft, had some pills in it for, you know, to break things up a little bit, break up the monotony. And it was really sweet. So I was hoping to come over here and get a run in, but I'm going to have to, it looks like it would be about 8 total for me to do this, and I got a 1:30 meeting, so at least I'm getting out on this beautiful day. So we'll file this one away for future reference. So anyhow, what am I looking at here? I'm totally surrounded by asphalt, but I can't see any of it. I'm basically in the woods, in New England woods, with rolling hills. There's packed snow on the ground, and it's melting. Doing a lot of puddle jumping today. Got my new trail shoes on, which are a little squishy. And it's all up and down, single path trail. Don't see any deer or deer tracks or anything. So, hey, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Out. Hey, my friends, that's it for another Run, Run, Live podcast in the can. Hope you guys have a great week. Coming up, I've got my friend Kevin, our friend Kevin, from Just Finish. And you know what? I also got Jeff Galloway to raise his hand and say he's coming to come on the show. So, pretty cool, huh? It's amazing what you can do if you just ask people. All right, where's that trail? It's getting dark now. I got my headlamp on. Hey, so I'm running the Martha's Vineyard 20-miler this weekend. And we'll see after that. We'll see what my schedule is. I got that Georgia Marathon in Atlanta at the end of March. And then I got the Boston Marathon in April 26th. And so I got a couple weeks of training to fill. We'll see what I feel like doing. Maybe some 30Ks or some 20-milers or some half marathons or something. We'll see what we got. Feel pretty strong. And remember to go to www.gratonroadrace.com. All right? That's to see the road race that started it all for Chris Runner 18 years ago. You know, I ran in high school, but I took, you know, 10-15 years off and was totally a non-runner. I was a couch addict well into my late 20s until I started running again. This was the race that got me back into it. So I'll tell you a story. I had this race, my local race. It was the first edition of this race that I figured it was a good thing for me to train for. And I was about 29. And I trained pretty much all spring for it, and I had this goal, this really crazy goal of breaking 8-minute miles. And so the weekend before, the Sunday before, I went and I ran the course. I was going to do a test run at race pace to ease my mind. Well, I'll tell you what, I failed miserably. I had to walk. I couldn't run at that pace. I couldn't run at all. And all week long, I was mean and miserable and tough to be around because I had trained for this thing and set myself up, and I was sure I was going to fail. So, what happened? Well, that Sunday, I went out, and I ran my pace. I figured I'd hold as far as I could. And pretty soon, I was looking down, and I passed the 6-mile mark and realized I was going to make my goal. And I felt such joy as I had never felt before in my life. And rounding the corner for the home stretch to the chute, the bumper girl, who was a toddler at the time, leaned out of the crowd to give me one of those low fives. And it was one of those epiphanies that we have in our lives. And my friends, the rest is history. So tell all your friends to come out and run the race that changed my life, or go support your local race as they change other people's lives. I'm going to take you out now with some music by a friend of mine. His name is Kevin Keady, K-E-A-D-Y. And Kevin was the president of my class in prep school some 400 years ago. And now he lives down on Martha's Vineyard. He lives a simple life down on Martha's Vineyard. And in his spare time, he sings, and he does sort of political folk music. And this is one of his songs. Enjoy. If you like the CD, it's called The Off Season. Go to kevinkeady.com, all one word. And yes, my friends, I will see you out there.
I was driving home late one night. In the rear view I saw a flashing blue light. So I pulled the car over, put my seatbelt on. Got myself ready for Babylon. Gave the man my license and my registration. I asked him for specifics about my violation. He said, I seen you like to tail light when you left the bar. Now do me a favor, won't you step out of the car? He made me touch my nose and he made me walk a line. I didn't stumble, slur, stutter, everything was fine. Just when I thought he put me through the worst, he said, I wanna hear the alphabet in reverse. He cracked a little grin, his eyes began to shine. I knew that he was thinking to himself, the sucker's mine. Imagine his shock, picture his surprise when I took a deep breath. I looked him in the eye and I said, C-Y-X, W-V, U-T-S, R-Q-P, O-N-M, L-K-J-I-H-G, F-E-D, C-V-A. Well, his face went empty and his jaw just dropped. And I couldn't help myself, so I said to the cop, well, now you're gonna have to let me go free. Next time, won't you sing with me? C-Y-X-W-V-U-T-S-R-Q-P-O-N-M-L-K-J-I-H-G-F-E-D-C-B-A.
Listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.